Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Job loss, school closings, celebration cancellations, and social distancing. All of these things have caused emotional struggles for many across the nation and around the world. Since Janie and I were unable to come together in the studio for recordings, we scoured our archives to find topics that we hope will encourage you in your present situation. In today's program, Janie and I are discussing joy. At a time when things seem so bleak, how can we be joyful? So please join in the conversation as we discover how to find true joy.
We really wanted to start looking at joy.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk about love all the time and understanding what love is. And we've got the 1 Corinthians 13, that's the love chapter. But joy is something that we really don't understand. We've defined it as beyond happiness.
Yes.
You know, my definition of joy is I feel happy beyond happiness, so I'm joyful. And that just really complicates things. We think if we're happy, then joy is just beyond, you know, just more happy. But really, there's a bigger, more in-depth definition of joy.
Well, joy is really a state of being. It is a part of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a real person, so it is a part of His character, His personality, and how He wants to convey that through our lives.
It is something that is not influenced by circumstances.
So it doesn't dissipate or go away when our circumstances change?
Absolutely not. It should be continuous.
And joy is where we find strength. Joy is where we find encouragement. We need to know how to find joy.
I will amen that. I will amen that. And just to make sure we understand, I will amen that.
Tell us how to do that, Janie, because I think there are probably a lot of listeners out there that may be saying, how do I find joy?
Well, the first thing I would say, after we know the command, then we need to make sure we are in right standing with the Holy Spirit, as He is going to be the one that's going to, let's say, activate the joy in our life. And so we have to learn then what it's like to be willing to be dependent upon His leading and not our own opinions or our own presumptions. And as much as we can talk about joy between us, Sharon, the scriptures are really what give life to joy. We can tell people about joy. We can give examples, and I think that helps. But if we neglect the scriptures, then we will not know true joy, because we will really not know the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we will have a tendency to sometimes make presumptuous conclusions in our lives based on a counterfeit called happiness. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how to discern between the happiness and the joy. We can say the happiness is from happenings, but then we kind of get muddled.
Based on circumstances.
Yes. But then we can kind of get muddled in the application.
Now, Philippians is the book on joy. So you can find joy and rejoicing in every chapter. In fact, I'm amazed at how many things that can be found in four chapters of Philippians. I would like to just give you a few of the things that can be covered that I find where joy is identified in just the four short chapters that you can read in less than an hour.
Okay.
So let me quickly go over them, Sharon.
Okay.
We've got joy of community, which would really be like fellowship. And then we've got there's joy in adversity. And that swallows hard.
Oh, it does.
There's joy in having integrity in your lifestyle. There's joy in being one in unity. And boy, I know when I have unity in a church that there's almost hilarity, because we can enjoy one another so much. We are always centered and around and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is joy in responsibility. joy in being in ministry. Humility is identified with joy. Victory, of course, is identified with joy. Maturity, harmony, security, and serenity. All of those topics are within four short chapters of Philippians that I found.
That is amazing.
But then what I connected with this week was in Hebrews, because you have encouraged me, Sharon, to get into Hebrews and just to start to absorb and personalize this book.
I love Hebrews.
Oh, and in Hebrews 12, he tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that could slow us down. Why? Because we want to look unto Jesus. Then what does Jesus explain was what carried him to endure the cross. It was joy. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame and set at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I see three words in that. I see joy, endure, despise. What a combination. What a balance, Sharon, that when we despise something and we are enduring something, joy wants to be the balance. But we have to look unto Jesus, and if we don't want to look unto him as the author and the finisher of our faith, then joy is going to get hindered. Joy is there for us because it is a part of the life of Jesus Christ and God the Father.
And I think it may be because we really don't understand the definition of joy.
Well, now that's a very good statement. So let's learn about joy by maybe doing a little bit of comparison.
Okay.
A lot of people put joy just as a feeling. And it really is a state of being. We could say it is a character. It is a part of God, the sovereign God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his joy, according to John 17:22, was absolute surrender and absolute sacrifice of himself to the will of his Father. He listened to his Father, and then he did exactly what his Father said as they spoke one to another. And it was for the joy of that communion between the two of them. It wasn't happiness. It wasn't necessarily a feel-good circumstance. Yeah. And happiness has to do with happenings. And yet there are a couple of things that we need to see. When our circumstances involve, shall we say we are still in Hebrews 12 now, but when our circumstances involve being schooled in the school of God, we can have some owies, as a little child would say. That doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And so that can deter us from abiding and being at home in joy.
Okay.
But he says if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. Then he goes on to say that without the chastening, we don't partake of the joy that is set before us. So it is possible to have that joy no matter what the circumstances are.
For the joy set before him,
he endured. And he despised the shame.
Yeah.
So we see the word despising and having to endure hardship with the weight of joy. But you know, when we're willing to accept that, that gives us a freedom in our soul and our spirit. And when we do that, then the overflowing joy that just comes from the Spirit, because he is elated that we are embracing the way of the Lord, then he brings that joy to flowing in something that could be laborious, or let's just say giving. All right. The scriptures point out in 2 Corinthians 8 that the primary purpose in giving is for the joy that is set before you. And so whether you have much, as the people who came to build the temple in the Old Testament, they were men of renown, men of great understanding and great strength, or whether you have the poverty-stricken people in Corinthians, the essence of giving is to find the joy.
So we're trying, what we're trying to do is define joy as it's beyond your circumstances. It's beyond your the happenings that's happening around you. It's not based on anything of outside sources.
No, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit is a real person with a real personality and a real disposition and a real temperament. And so since it seems to have ownership with the way the Holy Spirit makes it known to us, we know that in Nehemiah 8:10 it says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord has committed all things unto the Spirit here in this time frame, to where we look to the Spirit to implement this in our lives.
So it really comes down to a part of who we are.
Yes.
As Christians.
Yes. Our identification in Christ.
Right.
Well, there was a song out maybe a decade ago that was kind of a cute little clippy song, and it was, "Don't worry, be happy."
Yeah.
Okay, but that's an impossibility if we're going to have true joy. Now, yeah, you cannot worry and be happy as long as your circumstances are good. But that becomes a very hard command to do when your circumstances are rotten.
So our joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Without Him, we can only have happiness, right?
Well, that's a good way of summarizing. And then there is the thought that I had never really focused on. An unbeliever cannot have joy because joy is a product of the Holy Spirit. The best they can have are good circumstances where they can have some happiness. And if their circumstances are bad, then joy is impossible. It's only afforded to a believer in Christ. And I find that my joy is secure when I look at my destiny.
Okay, now there's another word that needs a little defining, Janie. I think there are a lot of words that are not defined right. So it takes our brain somewhere else.
With a big question mark, but destiny is not your salvation, although salvation is a part of your destiny. But destiny is where we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ and how He wants to use us in Him throughout eternity. Specifically focusing on the millennial, where there is no pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no negative circumstances. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and then he will try to do his final act when once again he'll try to rob the people of their eternal destiny. So destiny is a word that I can refer to as my future certain hope, even though I don't know how it's all going to work out in detail, but the joy is there because there is hope.
Okay.
If I thought that there was just 70 or 80 years and then I go back to dust, joy would be a pretty hard thing to encompass.
Yeah.
So joy is tied to our eternal destiny. Now, does that begin to open up any meaning?
Yes, I think that helps quite a bit, because when we talk about having joy in heartache and joy in sorrows, joy in death, joy in loss, it's really hard to wrap our heads around something that doesn't go together. They don't match. But when we look at joy as being a fruit of the Spirit, as being in Christ, that is a whole different meaning than what we have understood joy to be.
And I do have an example that impressed me to no end about Thomas Edison.
Okay.
Something that I learned this week in reading. And in December of 1914, after he had had many great successes, a fire broke out one night in his laboratory. And the laboratory was mostly destroyed by fire. And he lost around $2 million of worth of equipment and most of his life work records. Now, $2 million worth of equipment in 1914, I have no idea what that would be worth today.
Yeah.
And Sharon, he was 67 years old at that time, a time when most of us would be thinking about retiring and Social Security and taking life easy. And so after he checked to be sure that people were okay, his son was involved in that. And then he told his son, "Go get your mother. She's got to see this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing." Well, yeah, everything got destroyed. But when she came, He said, "You're never going to see anything like this again." And I imagine she thought, "I hope not." But then here is the mindset. Here is the attitude of a 67-year-old man's work who has gone up in smoke. And he said, "There is great value in disaster because all our mistakes got burned up." Now, you talk about attitude. Everything's gone, but now we've got a clean slate. We don't have to worry about our mistakes and the gunk that we've had. We can start all over again. And I'm thinking, what an attitude. And we find that attitudes are really more important than actions because they're the foundation on which our actions are built.
Oh my goodness, Janie, that is such a word picture for
me. Is that not?
It is, because we always talk about our actions and attitudes, and I never really thought about that foundation, you know, the attitude being the foundation on which our actions are built. That's the structure in which we build our actions is on our attitude.
And as I was perusing through one of my books this week, I was leveled. Because I was reading about martyrdom in the 1st to the 3rd centuries. I know they were under persecution. You didn't accept Christ because it was all going to be a joyous blessing. You accepted Christ and you knew that you might wind up being a torch in Nero's court with the gladiators and to be burned. So you too very seriously accepted salvation. I listened to the words of two martyrs, and Sharon, if you don't mind, I would like to just give their illustration of joy because it quieted my spirit about murmuring or complaining about circumstances where happiness is not necessarily evident. And so I would just like to use their words.
Okay. One
of the martyrs who truly gave their life for Christ said just before their death, "In a dark hole, I have found cheerfulness. In a place of bitterness and death, I have found rest." Another saint gave their final thoughts, and they were staggering. "When others weep, I have found laughter. Where others fear, I have found strength. Who would believe that in a state of misery, I have had great pleasure, that in a lonely corner, I've had glorious company, and in the hardest bond, perfect repose. All these things Jesus has granted me. He's with me, comforts me, and fills with joy. He drives bitterness from me and fills me with strength and consolation."
Oh my goodness. Those are last words, Janie.
Those are last words. Sharon, if I'm called to go out and suffer where I don't need a regular funeral, I'm hoping that I will have those words embedded. Is that not glorious to have that as an example?
Yes, it is. Oh, my goodness.
Now, if we look at Hebrews 11, we have a cloud of witnesses that are able to say these same things as they traveled. They didn't see the fulfillment of what they wanted, but they looked to the eternal being, and they were able to walk in faithfulness and joy.
And in Philippians 2, 1 through 11, we have an outline regarding joy in our lives. And this particular passage talks about the joy of unity. "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Jesus Christ." We are taking attitudes with heart convictions. So I would say that takes, when you say it takes it beyond happiness, mm-hmm. it's because mm-hmm. it takes it to a heart conviction that we have to choose to live by.
I just find that so amazing that as we learn how to restructure our attitude based on the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and understanding that joy is a state of being, it doesn't depend on my circumstances. I can have joy in every circumstance, because I have a relationship with God the Father who gives me that peace and that joy and that hope in knowing that in all situations, He's going to be there for me, and that should bring me joy.
And when the joy comes, it is such a height of liberty that I can't contain it. It's got to pass on. We have an example back in with Paul when he was writing the letter to the Philippians. Now, if I can kind of augment the situation here a little bit. He's sitting in prison, chained. He can't even go have any private time for his body functions without having a guard chained to him. Stop and think about those restrictions. And these men that were chained to him were not his disciples.
Right.
Now, I believe some of them eventually became, but they certainly were not at the end. So stop and think about living with a bad attitude 24/7. These bad attitudes from these guards were probably including wounding words. Mm. They were probably very indifferent because we know Paul didn't keep his mouth shut.
Right.
He probably talked pretty consistent in very long sentences, sometimes as I have a tendency to do. They were blaming him. They were ridiculing him, belittling him, everything he said. And there was probably a disgust with his very personality. And they may have even had some disgust with his appearance as he speaks about himself in other places in the scripture. Now, can you imagine how we would do with our attitude if we were in those same
situations,
those same things.
And you know, some of us have probably been there in those situations where we have been belittled and made fun of. And
then the ridicule and just the hammering away at your very personhood. Yet, Paul, this is so fabulous, Sharon. Paul ties his joys to the people he is writing to, if they will only consider hearing about how to be united with one another. Now, there's a subtle lesson of his joy was outside of his circumstances, and his desire in that joy was that others would want to be of one. And you stop and think about having a heavenly mind, and joy has a purpose. I was drawn again to Psalms 51. David's psalm of needing to have restoration after his indulgence with Bathsheba and the things that he suffered. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." So David was able to have joy as he confessed his sin.
Well, there's also another psalm that I really like, and that is Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore."
And Sharon, that was written when David was surrounded 360 degrees by Saul and his troops seeking to kill him, and there was no way out. David is getting ready to end it all because there's nothing else he can do. And then a messenger comes to Saul and says, "The Philistines are after us." God used that message to get Saul distracted and return back to fight on another field. David found freedom and deliverance, and that was what when he wrote Psalm 16. So when you read that, you see mission impossible, death is facing me from the enemy, and God makes a way out. What a way to end our first lesson regarding joy.
Yes, it is. Oh, that is so good. Thank you for joining us today for the challenging conversation. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.